Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Kelly Rava, founder of Empowerment Education. Welcome back, podcast, episode 11 of the virtual On the Stacks podcast. Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm all right. You know, another virtual On the Stacks podcast. You know, obviously with COVID-19, we're all home, and it's a little bit different, but you know, we're making do.
Yes, here we are.
Yeah. So thanks for joining me today. I'm really excited to hear your story. I know some of your story, now's gonna be a good time to really learn a little bit more about you and empowerment education. But before we get into the story of empowerment education, tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background. You have some interesting experiences all over the world, all over the country. So yes. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm born and raised here in Northeast Pennsylvania. And after graduating from Wilkes University, I went to grad school for clinical social work at Marywood. And during that time, I spent a semester studying in England. And what I did there was I worked with a very poor, I mean, I'm talking poverty stricken, living in tents, living on the streets, children that were physically or sexually abused, you know, during that time. And after I spent a summer there, and then after that, I was able to tour Europe. I spent a month touring Europe and, you know, seeing other areas and seeing different countries. It was a great experience. And it was definitely an excellent experience. The semester I spent out there with the kids was definitely eye-opening.
Yeah, so what was the foundation? I think I read on your website you worked with the foundation.
Stephanie Children's Fund. So it was founded by Bob LeValent, and he was a foster child.
Okay.
You know, and he just got involved as an educator and, you know, saw a need for social workers for these kids, and then just invited, you know, students from the United States over, you know, myself and a few others went to help them with their camp. So what it was a day camp for these kids. And we did a lot of activities of power building, team building, you know, trying to make them more resilient to adversity. So it was definitely a great experience. It helped the kids a lot.
So that's kind of really where you got your first start in this field.
Yes.
That's great. I'm sure that was some valuable experience for sure.
Absolutely.
And plus you got to see quite a bit of Europe, which I'm sure I'm a little jealous of. I've never been myself.
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely. Yeah. I will say another great experience, definitely. Yeah.
Now is not the time to go, but you know, hopefully when things clear up, you know, maybe one day I can get myself over there.
There you go.
So after London, you moved back to the US, but did you move back to Pennsylvania first or California? You were in California for a bit?
You know, I'm very adventurous, and I was back maybe a few weeks after graduation, and my ex-husband and I decided, you know what, why not? We're young, we don't have kids, let's move to Southern California. No idea really why we picked it. I love hot weather, I love the beach. So we lived there for 8 years in Southern California. We were probably less than 10 minutes from Laguna Beach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's nice.
Yes.
So you taught there, right? You taught at a school there?
I did. I actually, for the first 2 years, I was a social worker, which is where that's my degree is from. And then I decided to go back to school for education. You know, something just clicked. I, you know, loved being a child therapist, but I also, you know, wanted to teach, you know, and be with
kids. You went to school out in California?
I went to school in La Jolla, California, down by San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very cool. What year was this?
That was in, 2010, 2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you lived there for about 8 years or so.
Yeah.
And and then you made the jump back to NEPA.
I did. Yeah? I did. You know, and why we did that, I loved California. I do miss it. I miss the weather. I miss, you know, the friends that I've made who become still to this day are like my family. But nothing could compete with Northeast Pennsylvania, to be honest with you. You know, my family is very important to me. They live here. My parents, I wanted my kids to grow up with them. You know, I was very happy with the school districts out here as well. And just really, I miss the area, you know, coming, it wasn't the same, even though I came out several times a year back home, it was never the same. You know, California is a different place. And I just very happy I made the decision. Definitely the right decision.
So you moved back to NEPA in what, 2011-ish? Was it?
Yes. Yes. 2011. Yes.
So what did you do when you first moved back to the area here? What did you?
Well, I had my third child not long after I moved back, and I took some time off of work, and then I decided to go back to being a therapist. I was a mobile therapist and a behavior specialist consultant, and I worked at Scranton Counseling Center for several years until we lost funding, you know, as some of these counseling centers do. Okay. And then at that time, I was also doing a part-time monogramming and embroidery business, which eventually became my full-time job.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you a little bit about that too. So, you know, before we started, I wasn't sure. You know, I've known you for some time now, but I wasn't really sure if that really became your full-time business, and I guess it did. So, do you want to touch a little bit on that?
Yeah, you know, it started off. People will ask me how I got, you know, how I went from a therapist to a teacher to embroidering. And I mean, it's kind of a crazy story. When my daughter was a baby, I used to like to make hair bows for her. And I would go in, I was off in the summer, during the summer. So I'd go into different boutiques in Los Angeles and Newport Beach, and they saw the bows and they started buying them from me. So for their boutiques. And so when I came back here, I decided, well, let me embroider her name, Alexandra. So I'd embroider her name on bows. People started asking me about them. And then one thing, it became, you know, doing hair bows, to maybe putting a name on a shirt, to putting logos on, then hats, and then tote bags and purses, and just one thing, it just kind of spiraled, and, you know, that's how it became.
Wow, that's very interesting. Really cool. Also kind of all at the same time, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but you founded this nonprofit, Empowerment Education. So, you know, that's why we're really here today, you know, to talk a little bit about that, raise some awareness, you know, learn your story, tell people, you know, how they can benefit from it. But first, let's start with, you know, why did you start Empowerment Education?
Well, you know, I felt there was a need for, there's so many great nonprofits out there for mental health education, and there's really none specifically for empowerment and bullying prevention. So that was something that has a special place in my heart, but it's something that has, and bullying has impacted me in my life. And I just felt there was a need for it, and I wanted to do something to help people.
So if you don't mind me asking, like, what was your experience? I think I kind of know the answer, but I know probably half of it. But you know, do you want to touch on that a little bit and tell our listeners, you know, your experience with bullying and you know, how you were able to turn that into this great nonprofit that you run now?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was in middle school, and, you know, I'm 45 years old, and I was 12 years old. It was 1987. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, it had a huge impact in my life, where I was severely bullied, you know, to the point that my parents had to actually change schools for me. Wow. They had to, yeah, it was really bad. You know, girls could be cruel, and they were certainly cruel. And it took a toll on me emotionally. And, you know, now I look back and I'm thankful for it, because it made me the person who I am today. And I would have never started a foundation if I didn't have the experiences that I did have.
That's really great. So you're able to take that negative experience and really turn it into a positive, you know, start this nonprofit, you know, to help kids, you know, that went through the mm-hmm. same thing that you went through as, you know, as a, you know, young teenager. So what exactly does Empowerment Education do? Take me through it.
Okay. So what we do is we go into schools, libraries, or other community places, and we offer presentations. And what these presentations consist of, they last about anywhere from, let's say, 50 minutes to a little bit over an hour, you know, depending on if you get a lot of questions asked. And we talk about empowerment. You know, what is empowerment? How can we be more empowered? You know, self-esteem. What is self-esteem? What can we do to increase our self-esteem? We talk about, you know, self-confidence, how you can become more confident, resiliency, how are you more resilient to adversity and difficult times? And then we go on and we talk about bullying prevention. So we have been, we have done over, gosh, well, actually, I think we're almost at 50 presentations since the foundation began in late 2018.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's still fairly new, but
yes,
seems like you've already made quite an impact, you know, teaching. So what do you do? Do you go to middle schools, grade schools, high school?
You know, our focus is, because one out of three middle school age students experience bullying, that is basically our main focus, fifth to eighth grade. Okay. Now, we have done presentations for high school as requested. And also we've been invited to libraries and parents' nights. I've been to PTA groups. And we kind of, you know, also, you know, let me jump in and just say we could customize it to what they need. So if a school calls me and says, hey, Kelly, you know, this is what we're going through. You know, there's a lot of cattiness with girls. And that, you know, that is one thing that I will get, you know, a lot of the, you know, the eye rolls, the talking about people behind their back. Now, it's not necessarily bullying, but it definitely leads to, it can lead to bullying.
Okay.
But we can also customize these presentations.
That's great. So, I think we kind of already answered the question, but who else can benefit from this? I mean, is there anyone else besides schools? Like, is there anything else that, you know, that people can be benefit from what you offer?
Well, we have libraries, teen groups. That's a huge thing. Youth groups. Who else? Any type of youth group, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. You know, any type of community group can, like I said, you know, we can customize it to exactly what they need or what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's great. Also, so you said you have three kids, right?
I do.
How old are the kids?
Soon to be, my youngest is soon to be 13. So 13, 14, and 15.
Oh, wow. You got your hands full.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely do.
I'm sure they're keeping you busy now at home, right?
You know, it's a struggle, you know, with them having, you know, three different grades, having them to do their schoolwork. It's definitely, definitely a struggle for me trying to work from home, you know, and them saying, Mom, can you help me with math? And I look at them like, no, I have no idea how to help you with math. No clue.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not, I was never the best math student.
Right. Yeah.
Me so, either. But you're working from home, and one other thing, I think I saw it on Facebook, with your embroidery business, you also, I'm sure you've probably been impacted, you know, negatively because of the whole coronavirus, and I think I saw you were making masks on Facebook too. What how did that come about?
Well, what had happened was, you know, I have this embroidery business, and unfortunately lost it to, like, you know, most of us that have businesses are self-employed, lost a ton of business, you know, and it kind of just went downhill and I had nothing. And, you know, I decided to start making some face masks for friends who were firefighters and friends that were nurses and doctors, and kind of one thing led to another. And I decided, you know, why don't I just start donating? You know, the kids could help me. My kids got really involved. They were cutting ribbon, elastic fabric, washing it, drying it, you know, so we got the whole family involved. You know, and we donated well over 400, you know, from hospitals in Queens, you know, local places here, Geisinger, different areas here, first responders, nurses, doctors, truck drivers. I mean,
how did you find these people that were in need? Like, how did it come about? I mean, you mentioned truck drivers, something in Queens. Yes. I mean, it varies all over, hospitals, obviously, but how did you find these people that needed your help?
Basically, friends were just asking, you know, a truck driver friend says, hey, you know, I have to go into these, you know, the rest areas, or I have to go in and drop a load off. Can I have some? Okay. Well, then he needed some. Well, hey, can you make some for my friends? You know, it went like that. And then I have a friend who's a firefighter, and they were just given some paper ones. And he said, I'd love to have a washable one, you know, and then some friends that, you know, are immune compromised, you know, they would ask me, hey, I have to go to the doctors. I'm really nervous. Okay, sure. You know, and I did, I was very lucky. Some people sent me donations that I was able to pay for fabric for. So it wasn't all, you know, me, I was giving my time, mm-hmm. but, people were generous and they helped as well.
That's awesome. And, the three kids pitched in,
yes,
as well.
They did. Yes.
That's really cool. That's fun. I'm sure that, certainly helped pass some of the time at home.
It did, because they weren't in school at that time. They weren't, there was no online schooling like there is now.
Oh, okay.
So I put them to work. Yes.
Well, got to do what you got to do, you know?
Exactly.
So let's touch a little bit more on empowerment education. So, I mean, you know, how do you guys, you know, get the word out? You know, how do you guys market? I'm sure it's, you know, it's tough as a nonprofit. You guys mm-hmm. probably have limited, you know, very limited budgets, I'm sure. So right. how do you do it?
Well, what I started to do was I started calling schools. You know, that's kind of how it came to be, is just calling schools. There was something very specific, and it was in September of 2018. It was our first presentation. There was a news article about a girl who committed suicide allegedly from bullying. And I reached out to them and said, look, I have this foundation. You know, we're just getting our, you know, our feet off the ground. Is this something you'd be interested in? Well, the next day I was there doing presentations for all grade levels and parents. So once that ball got rolling and the superintendent would call another superintendent, a principal, you know, once we got those testimonials and feedback, it kind of snowballed is really how it is. And then I just continued to, you know, contact teachers, you know, my teacher friends and, you know, said, hey, you know, take a look at this program. I'd love to be able to come out and educate your students. So one thing led to another with that. And then, you know, we've been in the newspaper a few times, articles on bullying prevention, and we've received calls from that. So it was really great.
Yeah. I think I saw not long ago, you guys had like a big write-up in the Times Leader, right?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mike, for doing that. That was Mike.
Mike McGinley, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Big shout out to Mike McGinley and the
Times Leader. Thank you.
Awesome. That's really cool. So, you know, what else about empowerment education? I mean, how can, you know, is there any way that, you know, people can get involved? How can people help you?
Well, right now what we're doing, I mean, right now, obviously it's a difficult time. You know, we don't have, as of this moment, you know, many of our presentations were canceled because of COVID. You know, unfortunately, like, you know, the rest of everything was, life was shut down. So once we get started again, we are on social media, we are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we have a website, we're on LinkedIn. You know, people can see it when opportunities come, when we, you know, I don't exactly know, honestly, right now, when our next fundraiser will be, but that's a way for them to get involved because they are presentations. I do like feedback though. I do want to start a group where parents can come, parents, kids, you know, anyone can come and say, hey, you know, I have this issue. What can you help me with? You know, what more, I want to know what, how I could better these presentations. I want their feedback. So that's pretty much how people can help, you know, good. When I start opening these groups.
Yeah. So, you know, with the coronavirus, I mean, you know, you just touched on it a little bit, but you know, obviously it's impacted you negatively quite a bit because, you know, school's canceled. So are your presentations, right?
Yes. Yeah. Several of them, you know, we had six, in 1 month. Plus two at a local library. So it definitely hurt us. And, you know, I don't know, you know, we don't know if we're going back to school in September. I mean, who knows? You know, we can't, you know, no idea.
Well, I have a little idea for you.
Oh, good. Tell me.
Now that you are a Zoom pro.
Yes.
This is Kelly's first Zoom.
Yes.
And I'm glad I was able to show her the ropes and get her started. But now that all the kids in the schools are doing Zoom, maybe there's an opportunity. You know, if somebody hears this podcast or you know, after this podcast airs, you feel free to share this podcast, but you know, maybe some schools, you know, would be willing to, have you come on and do a Zoom, presentation, present to some classes of kids, virtually.
You know what? That is an excellent idea. I did not think of that, but now, like you said, that I'm a Zoom pro, that'd be a great idea. And I do know a lot of teachers.
Yeah.
I mean, brother's a principal. So, this is a great idea.
Yeah. So once this comes out, you forward this thing to everyone.
I will. Absolutely.
I think it would be a great opportunity for, with all the kids at home doing Zoom class, mm-hmm. They're all using Zoom, right? Your kids are using Zoom.
Oh yeah. They know how to do it. Yep.
Yeah. So, I think it would be a good opportunity for you to, maybe get in touch with some schools and see if they could, offer, one of your seminars through Zoom.
I think it's a great idea. That excellent idea. Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, I mean, I want to, how can someone get in touch with you in the meantime? Like what do people need to do?
Well, we have our website, which is takingcontrolofyou.com. You know, they can get in contact through that. We're on social media. So we are on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. They can call me directly. My number's up on everything, and I can just shout that out, which is area code 570-299-9471. Anyone can call me, hit me up. You know, I can talk to them more about the presentations and see what their needs are. I'm really excited about this Zoom thing. You got me rolling here.
Well, I'm glad. You know, we both learned something today. I learned a little bit more about you and your nonprofit. And hopefully you're going to take this Zoom thing to the next level for your foundation. Actually, one or two other things I think I forgot to ask was, do you have any, like, any great, any good success stories, you know, after giving a presentation? You know, has there been a kid that came up to you, you know, on the side or privately, or a parent that maybe reached out and thanked you or something? Do you have any good story that you can share, like a good success story?
I'm very thankful because, you know, we do have a lot. I don't, you know, want to go into specifics about, sure, you know, students, but I will say, you know, on an average presentation, there's 3 to 4 students who come up to me after.
Wow.
You know, and they do, and they will say, you know, you've made an impact, you know, thank you. I've been bullied. I get it. Thank you for sharing your story. Because I was hesitant at first, you know, sharing my story, sharing some details of my bullying. You know, it led to some, you know, some depression, some very bad self-esteem issues, self-confidence. But, you know, and I always tell them, you know, I'm resilient. Look where I am now from where I am then. You can get there too. So, I mean, it's great to hear these stories. And then, you know, one person did, okay, here's a great story. And I'm, you know, I'm glad you touched on this. Good. I had a student email me, you know, and tell me that it was a great presentation and that it really impacted her life. So that was it. She was bullied for many years for being unique, you know, as she described. And she said it just helped her. So that was really good to hear, you know, that we are making a difference. You know, we do have, you know, on our website, we do have testimonials posted there from superintendent, principals, teachers, parents, and students. So people can take a look at those. But it feels good helping people.
That's great. And I think one other question I had, we touched on it a little bit, I think, in the beginning of the podcast. And it's a question that has been kind of common on the podcast. A lot of listeners keep telling me, like, Bill, that's a great question. Keep asking it. We'd like to hear people's answers. So it's a real easy one. It's not a trick question.
Okay, I'm getting nervous.
I know. I saw your face there and I'm like, uh-oh, she's, yeah, it's super easy. So you came back to NEPA, right? You moved back, mm-hmm. you're in London, you're in California for a number of years and you came back to NEPA. So, a little bit of why did you come back to NEPA? You touched on it a little bit earlier, but what's your favorite thing about NEPA?
Spring and fall. Love it. Now I do miss the California summers, but spring and fall are really beautiful here. And the people, you know, there's good, you know, good, kind people, very family oriented people, some great areas around here. Great restaurants, you know, I enjoy Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm really happy to live here. And I'm glad I came back.
Yeah, no, it's a great answer. And I was wondering if you were going to say pizza because...
Oh, wait a second. You know what? I'm surprised I didn't say pizza. Yes, because you in California, there is no such thing as Sicilian pizza. There is no such thing, like, it is foreign to them. You know, and in California, most places are chains. You don't see mom and pop restaurants. That's where I prefer to go here. Okay. You know, you definitely don't see that, but pizza, yes, yeah. Pizza. I actually have a story of my parents sending out FedEx 4 trays of half-baked, it was Gigiarelli's when they were open in Old Forge, of their half-baked pizza. They FedExed it overnight.
Wow.
It cost them, I want to say, well over $100 to get this pizza to me, but listen to what happened. The pizza got lost.
No.
I didn't, you can't even make this up. I didn't get the pizza for days.
Oh no. So it was no good then, I guess, right?
No, it was not. Not from California weather, even though it was cool, it wasn't good after a couple days. But yes, pizza. Yeah. I missed their pizza.
Yeah. So one of the, you know, two of the most popular answers, I think number one is pizza of you know, the answer to this question. Number one is the pizza, and number two is the people, which, you know, you touched on the people. But those are two of the most popular answers of, you know, what's the best thing about NEPA. But yeah, we definitely, I definitely, you know, gotta, you know, give a shout out to all the people, here in NEPA because it's, you know, all these people like you, you know, really, really make our community, all these small businesses and, you know, we all need to support each other during these times.
Well, thank you. And thank you for what you do and helping, you know, spread the word about empowerment education. I greatly appreciate this.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm happy to have you on, happy to spread the word. Hopefully after this, you're going to like be Zoom famous.
Yes. You'll be seeing me on YouTube with all my Zooming.
Yeah. you'll be giving me tips. You're going to be reporting back to me. Report back next week, you know, with your progress updates.
I will. I absolutely will.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, that's great. So, what is that your favorite pizza place, by the way?
Digit Rally's was, I love Ravello's, Salerno's, just give me pizza. Ernie G's, Pizza Lovin'. Now you're making me think. Just give me Pennsylvania pizza.
Yeah, I like Angelo's sweet sauce.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
Your favorites?
Yeah. Maybe I'll have them on the podcast at some point. So
there you go.
Hopefully, just only because I just want to eat a piece of pizza on the stacks, obviously. Right.
Absolutely.
But once the social distancing ban lifts, yes, hopefully I can get Angelo's or some other great pizza. There's tons. I mean, there really is no bad pizza in this area. I mean,
no, I would agree with you on that. There isn't such thing as a bad pizza in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I don't think there is. I really don't. I'm a pretty honest person,
And you like your pizza, so.
And who doesn't?
Right.
So. All right. Well, I think we're gonna call it a night here. Kelly, thank you for joining me on another virtual On the Stacks podcast, Empowerment Education. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on the Stacks.